910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. The International Longshoremen's Association has suspended its strike, sources tell ABC News. The dock workers and the ports have reached a tentative agreement on wages, and they've agreed to extend their contract until January 15th as they work out other details. A split verdict in the trial of three Memphis police officers charged with violating the federal civil rights of Tyree Nichols, who died during a police stop last year. His father, Rodney Wells, called this a long time coming.
I just want to say for the family that we are all elated. We're all very, very happy that these guys have been put in jail. This is a long time coming.
Tadarius Bean, Demetrius Haley, and Justin Smith were all found guilty of obstruction. Some others found not guilty on other charges. Prosecutors are reviewing the evidence, new evidence in the case of the Menendez brothers accused of killing their parents 35 years ago. This is ABC News. A possible human case of bird flu.
It will be the first case of bird flu in California this year, if confirmed by the CDC, and the 15th nationwide, most of them in Colorado. The Californian had direct contact with infected dairy cattle, and California's Department of Public Health says a person has only mild symptoms, including eye redness. California detected bird flu in cattle in August. Now the state has 55 cattle herds that have been infected. Before this year, there was only one ever reported human bird flu case in the U.S. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Masters Chairman Fred Riley says Augusta National sustained a lot of damage from Hurricane Helene, but he is confident the golf tournament will go on as scheduled in April. She didn't just bark up the wrong tree. A dog in Washington County, Tennessee, got stranded 20 feet high in a giant nest days after Hurricane Helene. The pup was spotted by a canine from the Murfreesboro Police Department. I'm Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey. iZurvey
or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The American Red Cross in Wisconsin is pleading for volunteers willing to help the Hurricane Helene relief. 30 volunteers with the American Red Cross of Wisconsin have answered the call in recent days. Volunteers will get training. They'll have to commit to 2 weeks of service. Anyone who's interested can sign up at redcross.org/volunteer. Democrat Kamala Harris at the birthplace of the Republican Party Thursday, picking up the endorsement of former GOP Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
She possesses some of the qualities of character that I most respect in any individual and any leader. Courage, especially at a moment like this.
Cheney says she's never voted for a Democrat for president, but she says now is a time to put country before party. Cheney has called Donald Trump a threat to democracy. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
He swings and drives one out towards right center. Taylor back, and it's gone! Mitchell, a two-run homer, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
That's what it sounded like on ESPN Radio as the Brewers beat the Mets 5-3 last night. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Today will be Game 3 of the Wild Card Series between the Brewers and the Mets. Jackson Chourio hit two home runs, and Garrett Mitchell hit a go-ahead two-run blast to move the Brewers in front in the win. Manager Pat Murphy said Chourio had a great night.
Yeah, that's pretty special. Yeah, pretty special. A lot of guys contributed tonight. It was, you know, again, you saw what our team's about. what they've been about all year. They didn't quit. They kept every pitch. Yeah, a lot of guys' contributions, but Churio, oof.
First pitch tonight is after 6 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play the Phillies on Saturday and Sunday to start the NLDS. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Freeze warnings and frost advisories across the area tonight. With decreasing clouds, we'll look for lows to drop to the low 30s. For tomorrow, sunshine. Cooler day, though. Highs in the mid-60s. Warmer and breezy Saturday, high-low 70s. Currently 51 degrees.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin, will join us to talk about the newest referendum you're going to see on the November ballot. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. We are having some fun here on a Thursday night, broadcasting statewide in Wisconsin from our beautiful studios here in downtown Green Bay at WGBW on a gorgeous, gorgeous fall night. And I just want to say, Conrad, I think you can attest, I'm a pretty organized person. You know, I keep things relatively in order. I'm typically always over-prepared when I go on the air, that kind of thing.
You're joking, right?
But when I see Nikki Zurjev's desk out there, it angers me. I have never seen order or cleanliness like that in my life. And that's out of control. I don't know if I trust a person like that. Am I wrong?
I honestly
you can take
think,
sides.
I would say it's better to have an organized desk so it's not cluttered,
whatever.
You know?
Okay, president of the I Love Nikki Zurjev fan club. Okay, we are going to sort of turn things around here. We got a couple comments on the stream, but I think they pertain to this next guest anyway. So the fact that I did not see them when I was talking to Amy is fine because I'm going to bring in our next guest. He is a Milwaukee-based actor, filmmaker, and now the founder or co-founder of a new film festival that we'll discuss with him as well. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight Ezekiel Drews. Ezekiel, how are you?
I'm good, Pete.
Man, you are dressed to the nines, my friend. Look at that suit. If you're not watching on the stream, folks, you got to tune in. He's got this awesome, the tie is pink. I don't know what color I would call the suit, though. Is that like a dark pink?
It's more like magenta, I guess.
Oh, magenta. Yeah, sure. You don't see many magenta suits. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to a wedding this weekend. If it's not too much trouble, I wouldn't mind.
You want to borrow this one? I'll send it to you.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
Oh, okay. I'm not 6'1". I'm a muscular 6 foot, so I'm not quite as tall as you. But, hey, man, it is great to have you on the show and great to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here tonight, and thanks for being on the stream. It's always nice to see the guest, so it is like we're officially meeting. My first question, I don't meet many people named Ezekiel, and as an actor and someone who is trying to, you know, get people to remember them, does your name help you?
You'd be surprised. A lot of people, they look at me, they do a double take because I also work in sales. And so they're like, Ezekiel, like, that's an interesting name. And I'm always just like, yeah, hey, thanks. I got it for my birthday. And they always, then they do a double take on that too. And so that just kind of helps with remembering. But yeah, it's not, you know, it's not, you know, part of the course for any kind of actor names out there.
Hey, it worked. I love it. I mean, you show up with a name like Ezekiel and in that suit at an audition, no one's going to forget you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be able to act too, obviously, which I'm sure you're more than capable of. This is fun to have you here. We're going to talk. I got a lot of questions for you because you got your hand in a lot of things here. And thank you for your comment, by the way. When Amy was on the show, on the stream, Ezekiel said, Toy Story 1 got me into acting when I was a kid. That's interesting because it's not even live action. So tell us how that inspired you to act.
So it's really funny. So my parents took me to see that film when I was a kid, and I got home, and the first thing I did was I got out a sheet of paper, and I don't remember how many sheets of paper. I filled out front and back of all this loose leaf paper, verbatim, the first 8 pages of the Toy Story script from memory.
Whoa.
And my parents were like, this isn't normal. So obviously, you know, usually when something like that happens, you're like, is he, you know, maybe on the spectrum or,
but or photographic really, memory. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got me involved in community theater, and, I just, you know, I kept trying to do more and more acting and stuff as I was growing up, and I ended up going to college for a theater degree in acting. So
where did you go?
So, Wisconsin Lutheran College.
Oh, okay. Is that Milwaukee area, right?
Yeah, it's basically Milwaukee, kind of Tosa area.
Okay, nice. All right, so let's, I want to talk to you about the acting stuff too, but let's talk first about this film festival, the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. Am I getting that right?
Yep, you got it.
Okay, so I love, and I thought if my research was correct, it's very new. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. The reason that this all came about is because, so I actually graduated college, got married, did my last theater show, and then didn't do any kind of acting for about 12 years. And then two and a half years ago, I finally got to a point where I could do some acting again. And so I did that, got involved with a theater show. And then I was like, okay, this is a lot of commitment to do theater. So I was like, well, let me try to see if I can do some film. So I got involved with doing a few different film aspects. And then somebody that I met who became my business partner for my film production company, his name is Joe Morrow. So Joe and I were kicking back some liquor one night, and we're like, you know what, we could make our own film company and run some circles around some of these guys that are out there. Fast forward to, I wrote a script, we made a film, and it was a feature film that's out on Amazon Prime now. And I had it in film circuits and stuff, and I just kind of saw how a lot of the film festival circuits kind of like treated people, just kind of generic. There's a lot of like almost scam like online film festivals. And so I was like, well, let's raise the bar here. And I was like, you know, there's probably just not as many film festivals as there really needs to be to recognize independent film, especially in Wisconsin. So in April this year, after I've been in the circuit for about 3 months, I was like, I'm going to do this. And I was like, I'm going to do this as soon as I get done running this premiere for my film, Happy Birthday. So I put that together. And then maybe about 2 months ago, I brought on my executive director, Eric Lukert. So he's helping me out with this now as we get into the final stages for the festival next month.
Wow. That's a lot to take on, I would imagine. I can't even imagine what it would be like to launch a film festival. And I love when film festivals are still in the early stages, because to me, it's so much about true independent films. Like when some festivals get too big, it's like, who can we bring in? What classics can we show? That's all great too. Yeah. That's part of the festival experience. And I love that aspect of it, but there's something so pure about a film festival that's just starting out. And the focus is on indie films, raw, gritty, whatever that you can get your hands on. How many films, what's the format? Does it go a few days? Do you do it every month? How does that work?
So that's evolved a little bit here. So originally it was going to be just November 17th from about 6 o'clock until 10 PM. And then I had a very large amount of submissions that came in, and a lot of people were like, hey, you know, do you think we'll be able to screen our films and stuff. And I was like, you know what, I really want to do that, but you know, I got to look at budget. I got to do all these things here. Ended up getting some sponsors. I got Xerox as a sponsor. I got, I'm blanking on it, but it's a pub and grub, a bar and grill that's out in Campbellsport. And then just recently we signed a partnership with the University of Milwaukee Union Cinema for them to co-host an extra day now, which we're going to do November 16th from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. So we'll have an extra 6 hours there. Eric is working with another cinema to try to see if we can get an extra venue for the morning of that of Sunday the 17th. So that way we could have an extra large block. So we're trying to go from 3.5 to 4 hours of block to we're trying to get in an extra, like, you know, 12 to 13 hours of film screening, because just so many people that we want to get their film screened.
Right. So how, is it, that's coming up in November then, you said?
Yeah.
Where can November people get tickets? Where can they find out more about it or get tickets to some of the screenings?
Sure. Right now, everybody can go to our website, which is MilwaukeeIndependentFilmAwards.com. I heard Amy talking about how she wishes her website was shorter. I also wish mine was shorter. I might update the domain after this year, but we'll figure that out later. But if people go there, they can find tickets. There's a link for Eventbrite tickets, because I can't sell them through Film Freeway, unfortunately. They don't do it until you've been established for at least a year. And then additionally, on that website, they can also see film reviews that I've done, interviews that I've done in this kind of format as well, just over Zoom. So that way filmmakers can get their films exposed more as well. So there's a lot of information that's out there, but a lot of the website has everything that people would be looking for, including locations so far, and then where they can get tickets, which is on Eventbrite.
Yeah, you got good locations too. And I like, it's November 16th and 17th. It says here on the website, award-winning films. You've got February from Nathan Deming, who's a friend of mine. And I love his style, and I just think he's a great filmmaker.
Yeah, I just interviewed him the other day. I did a review for his film, and then I interviewed him on Sunday, actually. So that's on the website as well.
He's great. He did I met him. He did a film called Dog Days. It was a 20-minute short, screened at the Wisconsin Film Festival that I do a lot of work for every spring. And Nathan, I just thought it was like this hypnotic, really cool film. And then he did a feature, and he gave me a small part in it, which was nice. And then he did this February. And when I interviewed him on PBS, this TV show that I host in Madison, Nathan came on over Zoom. And he had set up a tent in his living room, and he was holding a fishing pole, and he had earmuffs on. He was in L.A. at the time, but he's making it look like he was contacting us from Eau Claire or wherever he's from. It was very fun. He's a great guy.
About the time the jukebox broke, yeah, she gave me a peck on the back of the neck. These are the words she spoke. Blow up your TV.
Welcome back. Throw away your paper. Our question tonight, a quick revisit here. Popcorn might be the best movie snack. It obviously is. It's America's favorite movie pastime snack. But what is your favorite snack when you watch sports? There's a lot of sports happening tonight. We're competing against sports. I don't like it, folks, but that's just the nature of the business. But what is your favorite snack when you watch sports? Dearmageddon the musical. That would be Dan Davies, I believe, says brains. And then he reminded me, you asked my favorite snack while watching sports. Okay. That's so twisted. All right, so you can get in on the fun, folks. Text us. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the stream, or just find us one way or the other, folks. And you can call us now on our multiple phone lines. Coming up in just a few minutes will be Jesse March from the Festival Theater in St. Croix, Wisconsin. But we have a few more minutes now here with one of my new favorite people because of his magenta suit and his cool name. He will be you're going to remember this guy because he's got, if you're watching on the stream, he's got a pink tie and a magenta suit. And I absolutely love this, and a black shirt. So very looking very dapper. Ezekiel, so you're very welcome. So you said Milwaukee is a good place to start as an actor. Is there a lot of theater opportunities and original material being performed?
Yeah, there's definitely opportunities, especially if people are just trying to get in, whether they're trying to get in theater, you know, community theater, you know, if they want to be part of an ensemble or something like that, or if they're just trying to break in, there's always, you know, there's always somebody looking for actors somewhere. There's a lot of Facebook pages that are out there that can help connect people. I think there's at least like 10 just specifically for Wisconsin.
Okay. I have a question here from a listener directed towards you. Daniel Imanasha asks, do you think streaming platforms have helped the independent filmmaker have more opportunities?
I think that YouTube has probably helped. I think that nowadays with, you know, with getting licensed and everything for content, they probably have a more difficult time if you're just getting started. I know just from getting Happy Birthday out on Amazon, it was, you know, a long process, and it wasn't even that I had to do anything, but they took like 3.5 weeks to even respond and say, hey, something's wrong with your with your submission. Go ahead and fix it and then resubmit, which would have started an additional 3.5 weeks if I hadn't opened a customer service ticket and said, can you guys just, you told me just to fix this one thing, can you go do it now?
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, there it's give and take. Is it easy? No, it's going to be work. You know, there's other ways, like I believe it's like Film Hub, or there's other places that you can submit for distribution. I'm looking at trying to see if I can get my own for Lucid Films. I'm trying to see if I can get my own Roku and Fire TV stuff set up, so that way I could do distribution for people as well. So I'm looking into the details of that to see exactly what I need to do. It's not a simple process, so I'm just kind of navigating the weeds on that.
It's weird because I'm kind of conflicted. I think all the streaming platforms, there's so much content out there, and I think it's fine for TV. You get paid, you get a check to write. But if you have a film, and especially an independent film, I think it's made it harder to get your money back. I don't think they pay the advances they used to. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's a way to get your work out there and seen a little easier. Like even if you just want to post something on YouTube, at least you can make people aware of what you're doing and what you're about and that kind of thing. So great text, Daniel. Tell us about Happy Birthday, Ezekiel.
Sure. Happy Birthday. So I mentioned it a little bit earlier. The reason Happy Birthday came up is I worked with my business partner, Joe. He said, hey, we can make our own film. And we were just kind of trying to kick around ideas. And Happy Birthday came up as a film idea. I was up at 12:38 a.m. in the morning, couldn't sleep. And I turned on Netflix on the Resident Evil series. And I was within the first, like, I think like minute or two of the series episode, is it's the main character wakes up and or doesn't wake up. She opens up a video call, and I thought it was like a recording, and her daughter and her husband are like, happy birthday. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. She's like staying alive in this, you know, this zombie apocalypse, trying to keep herself sane by watching a video recording of her daughter and her husband. And I was like, nope, it's actually just a live video. She's just, you know, observation. I was like, totally missed opportunity. I wrote a script based on that. So.
Yeah, well, that is cool. You just never know where you're going to get an idea that inspires you to sit down in front of your computer and spend countless hours writing it. So good for you. That's cool. So where can people see that, Ezekiel? I know you said before, was it on Prime?
Yep. So right now it's available on Prime Video for rent or purchase.
Okay.
If you go to Amazon Prime Video and just search Happy Birthday, number one search result, you can also find it if you've got a Roku TV or Fire TV. There is two channels or apps or whatever you want to call them in there. It's Fancy a Movie and Scenes Plus. You can go and you have to download either of those to your Roku or Fire TV, but then you can also search within those apps, Happy Birthday.
Very cool. All the cast from the Milwaukee area, Wisconsin made pretty much.
I would say it was like 96 or 97% everybody was nice. From Wisconsin, but we had a couple people that came in. One lady flew in from Texas. We had one guy who drove in from Iowa. And then I think I had maybe one or two people from Illinois, from Chicago. So
nice.
I had a cast of around 65 people or so.
We have about a minute left, so we'll have to do this again soon because I have more questions for you. But sure. I want to ask you, what are you watching? What are you, when you're done with your film festival and writing your movies and all that kind of stuff, what do you sit down to watch in your magenta suit?
Man, I'm such a huge anime nerd. I watch a lot of Crunchyroll anime, and then I also check out depending on what's out there, I try to keep up with Marvel when I can. There's just so much content there though, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, you always have something to watch. That's what I love about streaming and all of this. As a viewer, I love it. So all right, check out Ezekiel's film Happy Birthday. You can see it on Prime Video. We'll have to have you back. I want to hear all about the film festival. Maybe we can get you back in here quickly before it launches and see if we can help you push that a little bit. Great spending time with you tonight, Ezekiel. And don't change the suit. You should sleep in that. It's a great suit. All right.
I'll be wearing it the next couple of days.
Okay. So. That's Ezekiel Drews, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for your time, buddy. And Jesse March is coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Union machinists are on strike at the Miller Brewery in Milwaukee. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
What made Milwaukee famous has made the area outside the Miller campus a strike zone. About 40 workers were picketing. The union rejected Molson Coors' recent offer, citing inadequate wages compared to other trades and inflation. Molson Coors maintains that their offer is competitive. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Wisconsin's Attorney General will not get to review sealed bankruptcy documents for the Catholic Church in southeast Wisconsin. Reports say a federal judge ruled this week against opening papers sealed nearly a decade ago. Josh Call wanted to look at the documents for his investigation of clergy sex abuse in the Milwaukee Archdiocese. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
All right. So our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, was, you know, we all know popcorn is America's favorite movie snack. It has been for generations. But given that there are two big sporting events on tonight, Thursday Night Football and Brewers Baseball, what is your favorite sports snack? What do you like to eat when you watch sports? We got a text here from Bridget in the 818 who says taco dip.
I got to agree.
That's a great one.
It's so good.
Why? I never eat taco dip anymore. I don't know what happened. It's just off my radar.
It's been a while since I've had it.
Yeah.
And I just get the grocery store one, you know. I don't know if you make it yourself, but I enjoy the grocery store bought one as well.
What is that, like the powder or whatever you add to ground beef? Or no, that's actual tacos, like the dip?
No, the taco dip has all those different stuff on top of it. And it's I couldn't even describe it, to be honest.
Okay. That's fair. That was a great conversation.
You're welcome.
I got to say guacamole. I love guacamole and chips, although I can never stop eating them. That's the problem.
Salsa with guac and salsa together. Or not like in together, but you know what I mean.
Right. No, totally. And did you try Craig's salsa the other night? Was it good?
It was hot.
Was it really?
He didn't lie. It had a little kick to it.
Let me just say you are getting a full supply of groceries this week between Amy's popcorn and Craig's salsa. That's fantastic. I have not tried it yet, but I'll probably break it out this weekend and with some guacamole. Let's get to one more text here before we bring Jesse on. From the 608. Is that a name? Lil Lerv is listening. I was flipping through stations and heard you say Marinette. Been listening since. Love it. Well, thank you. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that name correctly. It's a kind of a cool name if it's a name. It says Lil Lerv from DeForest, Durhay. I love DeForest. It's right outside of Madison. I have cousins that live there. It's a nice little town. Thank you very much for the text, and thanks for listening. And yeah, Marinette. When you hear Marinette, people are just genuinely curious. So thank you for tuning in for that reason as well. All right. So last week we had our friend and one of our biggest theater advocates on the show, I would say. Even though he's only been on the show a couple times, we kind of had to cut it a little bit short. So I invited him back to sort of complete the interview tonight, because they've got a lot of really cool things happening over in St. Croix Falls in the western part of the state with the Festival Theater. And on behalf of the Festival Theater, we are joined now on Nightlight by Jesse March. Jesse, welcome back.
Oh, hey, Pete. Thanks so much for having me.
This is becoming like a regular thing. You're on every week now. It's like you're...
It feels so good. It feels so nice.
It's great to have you. So, all right, we kind of left off. Let's do a recap. You just have...
Yeah.
The Festival Theater is this beautiful facility, and it's in the western part, St. Croix Falls, western part of the state. Tell us what was done to the theater. Has it been restored
fully
or renovated?
Okay. It was restored. So it's a historic building. It has been fully restored up to historic code. So it looks absolutely gorgeous. The seats are still the original seats, but the theater has been completely revamped. All new tech. The sound system's all new. The stage has been redone. The backstage has been redone. The balcony has been opened. We've put in a brand new elevator. It's absolutely incredible.
Wow. So let me ask you something. Where do you get money for theater? Like, is it grants or donations, or is this just your own, you guys turn enough of a profit so you put the money back into the theater? How does that work?
D, all of the above. It is grants, donations. We had some city funds, some tax breaks. We're a nonprofit ourselves. There's been a lot of different hands in this making this happen. So it's a real big joint venture on a lot of parties. So it's definitely a big success to have this theater be open again.
It's so great. And I just want to ask you, because I have other questions regarding this, but how great is it for a community to have a theater? I mean, honestly, not everybody goes, but I know in Marinette we have I think it's called the Bayshore Theater now or something. It was part of the university, which is basically closed now. But I don't know what this town of 12,000 people would be like without a place where people could go see live theater.
You know, it's crazy. And there's been studies about what kind of benefits theater brings to a town. But there's tangible ones like, you know, money and tourism and things like that. But there's also all the intangibles about the way that theater like uplifts communities and like makes people think and brings people together. And it's a pretty special place. I will certainly agree with that. And there's been a lot of folks coming and reflecting like, you know, I remember this building when it was this and when it was that. And so it's a communal gathering space. And it's really so delightful.
I'm just going to geek out here for a second, because I did theater in high school. Then I kind of got into like movies and TV and that kind of stuff. But my daughter is big time into theater, and she is studying musical theater in college now. And there is no greater thrill for me, whether it's community theater or I'm going to see Hamilton or Les Mis, then sitting there before the show starts, there's just that feeling of anticipation, and it's so great. And my other thing is, when I went to visit her at school, she showed me around. I love looking at a theater when it's empty, and there's kind of this constant hum from whatever machines in the booth, or if it's a generator or something, and like just seeing the empty seats is so incredible. And it's your whole life. You must love that. How did you end up in St. Croix Falls again?
You know, I came out here because of Catherine Cesars. She's the executive director, and she is my ensemble member and artistic partner. And she and I wrote this show, Heck, together. And so when she came out here to head Festival Theater, this show was part of that plan. So I came out here specifically for Hack, which is our Halloween production that we're getting into right now.
Yeah.
But I've been doing work all throughout the year and we'll continue to do stuff next year. I've been one of the sort of main actors and just sort of helping make this transition happen as best I can and on the marketing team and whatnot.
That's so great. My guest is playwright. And he is here, playwright Jesse March, here talking about the Festival Theater and Heck. So I didn't know that that was an original play. That must have escaped me last time you were here. That is really exciting that you're doing original material. So tell us about...
It's also an original musical. It's a full original musical. So all the music is original as well. The entire thing. It's a full-length original musical that has never been seen before.
Well, that's pretty exciting. Tell us, it opens October 11th. If you're on the western part of the state or near St. Croix Falls, how can people get tickets? And it runs for what, a couple weeks?
Yeah, it runs for 3 weekends, Thursday through Sunday, October 11th through 27th. You head to festivaltheater.org, and that's theater with an R-E. It's a really fun original piece that features the devil herself and her emotional support demon, Belfo. That's me. I'm Belfo. And the show is about her dealing with her breakup with her ex, which is God. And that happened 6,000 years ago, so it's still so fresh for her. She's still dealing with it. She's made this whole show to help her deal with her feelings. It's two acts, 12, maybe 13 songs now. And it's got this kind of like pre-war era jazz, like bass to the music, but we go all the way into rock and pop. It's really fun, and it's funny. It's a comedy, so... Half of the cast are trained clowns and circus artists who are part of my ensemble and part of my training. And the other half are folks that we have picked up along the way to help us create this. We have puppetry, we have magic, we have stage combat. It is a whole beast.
And it's only running 3 weekends. What if it's a smash? Do you keep it going then? Do you try to open it in other cities? How does that work?
Yeah, so we do a lot of work to preserve it. So we have an entire script. The script has been written. The music is all recorded for our own purposes. And at the end of the show, our last weekend will be filmed. So it will be able to be marketed and shown. And then we would probably ideally try and take it and tour it places to either festivals or to other fringe spots or to other cities or venues, whoever would be interested in this work. It's a great Halloween piece.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what is the, like, in terms of your capacity, seating capacity at the Festival Theater? I think you told me this before, but tell me again, how much does it hold?
268.
Yeah, okay, that number was in my head. That's great. Yeah. And are there still tickets available for the shows?
Yes, there are, but they're selling out. People are pretty excited about this piece. It's also cool because this is like this piece, the way that it was built is it's built through ensemble devised work. So everyone kind of has a hand in it. We all sort of take a different space. I'm one of the directors as well as one of the writers, and I'm one of the characters in it. We have three sort of directors who are kind of shuffling in and out, and everyone sort of has a say. So there's a big communal vibe to the thing, despite it all being professional artists. And that's a pretty cool thing that people seem to be latching onto as they're snagging up those tickets.
Yeah. It's funny. What I told you before, in Marinette, we have our theater and they do a Christmas show every year, which has become a great thing for the community. And, you know, kids theater, it's so hit or miss. You don't know, like, you know, there were times when my daughter was in a show and if she had a smaller part, I would just get my ticket at the door. And then I walk in and go, God, where am I going to sit? Like, and then other times where there's a lot of seats. So it's best to get your tickets and just be safe. Then you can stroll in and you don't have to rush. And that's the only way to do it, in my opinion.
Absolutely. So this piece is PG-13. So kids could come. There's nothing too graphic, nothing too intense. It's a fun piece. It's a funny piece.
Okay. All right. That sounds family friendly then, obviously.
I mean, it deals with the devil, of course, but we aren't getting into too heavy themes with it. It is definitely for like a fun, spooky Halloween time, and it's pretty silly.
What's your favorite show that you've seen?
Ever. Oof.
If you could, let's do it this, Jesse. If you could see one live show, you know, Wicked, Miss Saigon, Les Mis, Heck, whatever it is, what would you watch?
Oh, well, definitely Heck, because I'm making it. But right, I suppose that makes me biased.
Let's take Heck out of the equation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little biased. You know, I think the one I saw most recently that I think I really enjoyed is I really enjoyed Hadestown. If you haven't seen that,
I've heard
piece.
Of it. I have not seen it.
There's some beautiful music in that, and I'm a sucker for myth. You know, a lot of Heck stems from, we've done a lot of research on the, you know, Dante's Inferno and Paradise Lost and things like that. So we're pulling from classical literature. And so anything that has to do with, you know, the Orpheus and Persephone, Orpheus and Eurydice, that's what I meant. Orpheus and Eurydice myth always hits home for me. And the style of the music is so banging. So I'm a big fan of Hadestown. And I'd say this show's kind of in a vibe, in a similar vibe, in a somewhat similar realm, but more goofy for sure.
Okay.
Kind of cartoony. This piece is more cartoony than Hadestown would be, but still has like kind of that cool feel in the music for sure.
Let me ask you this. When people go into the festival theater and they're holding their playbill for Heck, are they allowed to have snacks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what's best snack to watch theater? We've established for movies, it's popcorn. For sports, we're getting all kinds of different suggestions. What about theater?
Yeah. You know, for theater, it's something that's quiet, right? So it's right. Like something, we're all laughing, right? So it's not that big a deal. I mean, my favorite is I'm going for any gummy snacks, anything that's like chewy, like I want to gnaw on something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
So something that's like a sour worm or like a gummy worm or something along those lines, a gummy bear. Ooh, give me a gummy bear.
There you go. That's quiet too. That's better than Doritos or something at a theater.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So what about like, sometimes it seems like movie theaters, crowds, it's sort of cyclical. People think, oh, the movies are dying. People aren't going to theaters anymore. And then the summer picked up and it was incredible. What about theater? Yeah. Is local theater, whether they're doing famous plays that we've seen or original material like Heck, are they constant? Or are they in any danger of not having people come anymore?
You know, I think it's an interesting perspective. I think a lot of people have been sort of shying away from the theater, thinking it's like kind of like not hip and fun. Like it's kind of like, it's like going to detention kind of a thing. Like you're going to go and you have to sit and you have to be polite and be quiet. And, you know, you have to, it's like, you know, take your medicine kind of a vibe. And I think a lot of modern theater and a lot of, especially like new works and a lot of stuff like in the Twin Cities and where we're working, we're trying to really make it like super accessible, super fun and delightful. It should be a good time. Like this piece, you should be sitting in your seat and like laughing and enjoying. And like, you know, these characters in our show, like they talk to the audience. There's no fourth wall. So that's kind of like a little bit less formal. You know, a little bit less like, oh, this is, we're at the theater and we have to be so prim and proper with it. It's kind of, it has more of a living, breathing vibe to it. So I think that's pretty accessible. And, you know, we performed these characters at the Bonk show in the cities to a crowd of like 600 and people were just eating it up. So I think it's super accessible.
You think you're safe too. That's awesome. I mean, that to me, you can't beat live theater. It's the best. So Jesse, thank you again for coming back. We'll have you back soon. I hope we'll talk again.
Yeah.
Good luck. Break a leg with Heck.
Thank you so much. And if anybody wants to come, let me know.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Jesse March with the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. We'll be back to wrap this up and read a couple more texts. And if we get really crazy, we'll play a clip. And Conrad will give us an update on the Brewers. Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, so Nathan says his favorite sports snack is cheese and crackers. That's a great one. And Kevin says nuts. Nuts are great and healthy. I try to do nuts and not do, like, the carbs. But I don't know if, like, just protein goes with watching sports. I don't think I can do that. I think I got to have some, like we said, taco dip or guacamole and chips or something. Dave on the stream says cream cheese, sour cream, refried beans, guacamole, salsa, shredded cheese. Got to take a breath here. Jalapeno, tomato, and any other toppings you enjoy on tacos. Glad I'm not staying in the same house as Dave. That's great. That's heavy, serious, like Homer Simpson, heavy sports snacks. These are great texts tonight, folks. Thanks for being part of the show, as always. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, we've got another fun show. Maria Kaminsky will be here for some Freaky Friday talk. That's what we're doing here on Nightlight in October on Fridays. Friday is typically our bar band Friday night. It still is, but we're going to do Freaky Friday in the first hour, and we're going to tell some ghost stories and see where you can take some fun ghost tours. Pardon me. And Maria is going to be here. She's from Old World, Wisconsin, and she's going to be here to talk about what they offer. We're going to talk to someone at Door County Trolley Tours, if not tonight, coming up soon. Lots of fun stuff all month here on Nightlight leading up to Halloween. So that's what we'll do tomorrow night. Maria Kaminsky from Old World, Wisconsin, talking creepy stuff. And Terry Barr, the always enchanting Terry Barr, will be here with new music for Bar Band Friday night here on Nightlight. Good stuff coming up tomorrow. And all right, you want to give us a an update on your...
Well, it is 0-0 at the top of the seventh.
Oh, man.
So it's a slow game.
Is there a no hitter in play?
That I have to check. I haven't seen the box score for it.
Probably not. Or you probably would have heard about it.
I'm guessing not. I think I saw that the Mets had a person on the second and the first inning or something.
Okay.
So let's see. Well, it's the Brewers have 4 hits and the Mets have 2.
Okay. It's kind of a boring game, actually.
Yeah. They're giving their best out there, you know. It's an elimination game.
Well, they better be. you go. Well, they're not really trying. So I think once they kick it up a notch, we'll be okay.
It's an elimination game. Like, why do we need to try? Yeah. Why would we?
Next year's right around the corner. Jesse March, who was just here, has offered to give away 2 tickets to Heck in St. Croix Falls at the Festival Theater. We'll push that a little more tomorrow. If you want to text in now, we'll take your information. If you're over in that part of the state, we're happy to share your information with Jesse, and he will give you 2 free tickets, and we'll push it again tomorrow night as well. And then tomorrow night, as I mentioned, 2 more fun guests. We, you know, how do we close this down, Conrad? We've got some options. We've got clips. I've got talking points here I could get to regarding lots of cool stuff.
Well, okay, how about we do this? I just got one kind of clip that you sent me. I just think we play it with not talking about it at all and just play it.
All right. You won me over. Go for it. And this goes on for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the extended cut that I sent you.
You didn't send me like, oh, this to this. I actually clipped the whole thing.
There's not one. I can't turn that off. That makes me laugh so hard. That is Seth MacFarlane, probably stoned out of his mind, writing just funny crap. And I'm saying that. I don't know Seth MacFarlane. I've never met him. I don't know if he's a pot smoker. But that's weed humor. What if we put Peter doing this to Axl Rose? It's beautiful. And I think you know what song I want to close the show down with tonight. Every once in a while, we got to bring it out. It's our favorite figure skater. It's coming up. I'd like to give a shout out to Dan Kitkowski, too, of the Marinette Eagle Herald. He did a really nice piece on Nightlight a couple days ago. And I tried to post it on Facebook, as did Dan, and Zuckerberg took it down. And we talked about this last night. Zuckerberg and Zuckerberg and Elon Musk were going to fight, I would pay to see that. And I they're two guys I just kind of hope it ends in a draw and they both get their butts kicked. But I seriously, I wanted to get Mark Zuckerberg in a headlock last night. That's so stupid. Like, the warning was like, you're trying to profit from this. I'm like, no, it's my radio show. A newspaper did a thing. I'm just sharing it. There's nothing weird here. It's yeah. so wrong. So we'll get to the bottom of that, though. I protested. I sent him a letter. And I signed it, Conrad.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so more fun stuff coming up tomorrow night on Nightlight. Thanks so much for being with me, folks. I'd like to thank Amy Zimmerman from Poppin' Z's. Check out their popcorn. It's great stuff. Conrad already wolfed down an entire bag.
Yep.
Ezekiel Drews is here. Best of luck with the film festival. And Jesse March, Break a Leg with Heck. Great guests. Great fun tonight. Thank you for your text, as always. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
He'd figure out a way to rescue Terrence and Phillip before they're executed.
We can't do anything. Our mom's organization is too strong.
Well, then we'll round up all the grounded kids in town and start our own organization. An organization to help save Terrence and Phillip.
Hey, yeah, our own secret club.
I guess that could work.
We have to try. What would Brian Boitano do if he was here right now? He'd make a plan and he'd follow through. That's what Brian Boitano do.
When Brian Boitano was in the Olympics skating for the gold, he did two sal cows and a triple lutz while wearing a blindfold.
When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved the maiden's there. So what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
Here.
Oh, bye.
When Brian Boitano traveled through time to the year 3000.